Good morning. Hello and welcome. I am going to share this on Telegram. And we will then jump off with the chat. This is Brian of London in the Forest. There we go. Let's send that to Telegram. Always a good move. Brings a few people in. If you're watching and you like and share and subscribe. It's Brian of London in my forest in Tel Aviv. For the regulars who know me, if you're new, welcome. This is Tel Aviv. It's a forest called Bereshit, associated with the big park in the middle of Tel Aviv. And I drink coffee. And I talk. And I talk. Okay, what are we going to talk about today? We're talking about, once again, far right. The real far right. Because, of course, I get accused of being far right. But I'm not. And Tommy's accused of being far right. And he's not. And there's a whole big mess going off. Back when Facebook and Twitter deleted Tommy, eventually we switched over to using Telegram. And Tommy can use Telegram direct from his phone, and that's been his one-to-one method of contact. And Telegram have a very liberal, properly liberal attitude towards censorship, which is they just tend not to do it, except for pornography and violence and terrorism and stuff. And Tommy does none of those things, so he's got his channel. But there's a comment section, and the comment section is a sewer, and we'll probably do away with it because it's just a sewer. It's unpoliceable. The volume is too high. You can't. There's no tools to control it. So, of course, what happens is, and this has happened all the way through his career. And in fact, there was a very good video by I think Richard Inman, and there was another good video by Paul Golding from Britain First yesterday. And I'll talk about both those videos, and then I'm going to tie this at the end, in case you're wondering how I'm going to link this, to the attacks against Melanie Phillips for an article where she wrote the complete truth and pointed out this term Islamophobia is a huge problem. And the reason I'm joining these two is because I've seen this all along for years. And it goes back to people like Robert Spencer, Pamela Geller, all the people I've known throughout the counter jihad, Tommy Robinson included, and people across the continent. They get called Islamophobes. So from the left, you get this attack that they are anti-Muslim, but they're not. They are against and critical of, and very, same as I am, very much in tune with the core ideology of Islam and the parts of that ideology that present a problem for non-Muslims, for the kuffar, as we are. And that's been Tommy all the way from the beginning. What Tommy and I and many others have never been interested in is skin colour and issues of race and racial superiority and whether one race is superior to another. We're just not that interested in that whole debate. We're interested in how an ideology affects its followers and how the ideology through the followers then affects other people. And that's our beef with Islam, is that it engenders in its followers far too often an attitude towards non-Muslims that makes it very hard for the non-Muslims to live side by side with the Muslims. Hashtag not all Muslims. Hashtag it can be done. Israel's actually an example of a very high Muslim population living with Jews and others. And we get on actually better than most people realize. But from the point of view of Tommy, and all the way back to the EDL days, when the EDL really was a sort of a counter-jihad thing, it was always because the media were telling everybody this is a far-right organization, the EDL is far-right, 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 which it wasn't. What happens? The far-right want to join it, and they want to bring with them their ethno-nationalism, their IQ models of whites and Jews and superior to blacks, and that they want to bring all of this baggage, which I don't even care about. It isn't a burning issue because we can get along, and countries can exist without ethnic purity. Israel does not have ethnic purity. We have Arabs, as I said. We have Jews from all over the world. Jews are not ethnically pure. There is no ethnic purity within Judaism. And so the once the press labelled the EDL and Tommy Robinson as far right, what happened? The far right tried to infiltrate. Amongst the far right, and this was pointed out by Paul Golding in his video yesterday, are the police. And for absolute sure, we know, those of us who were around back in those days, we know that the police were turning people, and they seemed to like putting the far right into the EDL. That was their method of destroying the EDL, as far as I'm concerned. The police and the security forces in Britain knew that that was a very good tactic, and I think that that's what they're doing now. Now, Tommy addressed, Tommy's team and Tommy himself addressed this woman, Secret Sources, and Mark Collett, and the gang that they run with, which is always, they always come back to a Jewish conspiracy to take over the world. They then bring in a hatred of, from the hatred of Jews, they get a hatred of Israel, which means that they only ever look at Israel through the lens of the far left media, the Guardian, Haaretz. It's amazing. They look at Israel through the most disgustingly slanted lens, which, to be honest, the whole of the British media has treated Israel very badly for 40 years, despite, according to these people, Jews controlling the media. We've had this terrible press in the UK, such that most normal people have swallowed this lie that we're invaders and that we've booted out the indigenous Palestinians, when it's total inversion. You know, Jews and Judaism and are indigenous to Judea. You know, part of what the Jordanians renamed the West Bank used to be called Judea, which is Jew did. It's the same word, it's the same root, it's the same people, it's where our faith evolved and grew. But the British people, unfortunately, they've been fed this diet of hatred for Israel, and they've swallowed it, and I don't blame most of them. But when you combine that with a far-right sort of classic hatred of Jews, based on the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, based on the Nazi philosophies, based on what Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf, when you combine that with a far-left media delegitimizing Jewish presence in Israel and calling us conquerors, when in fact, obviously, Israel was conquered, you know, by many, many different conquerors, but the most last but one was the Arab Muslim conquest, and then the Turkish Muslim conquest, the Ottomans. Finally, you know, the British took it over after the First World War, really. But Israel was conquered and ruled by colonialists. Jewish Israel, the one that's here now, we are the first successful indigenous reawakening on our own homeland. We're the indigenous people. But anyway, I understand if British people don't get that, but when you combine it with a far-right poisoned attitude to Jews, you get Mark Collett, you get Secret Sources, you get this just crazy desire to believe that Jews control everything. And of course, you're seeing this flip and cross between them and the far left now, and the Corbynistas, you know, who I'm sure adamantly believe that it was a Mossad operation that succeeded in making Corbyn lose the election in Great Britain. I mean, for God's sake, we can't, you know, and Bibi ran it. And Bibi can't even organise to be elected in Israel. Do you think he has any say over the British election of Boris Johnson? I assure you not. And then, you know, Boris stands up in Parliament yesterday and whacks BDS on the head, which is quite funny. And it came as no surprise to me, and I only learnt it recently, that Boris had spent some time on a kibbutz in Israel. Geert Wilders did that too. A lot of the people who... This is not... There's no secret agent to this. It's just that when you actually understand Israel, and you come at it from a Western Christian, especially Christian, when you understand biblical nationalism, Israel is biblically nationalistic, because the Bible actually, as Yoram Hazoni points out in his book, the Bible defines Israel. It says, these are your borders, don't go outside them. The Bible is anti-imperialistic. It sets for the Jews a non-imperialistic vision of what a nation is. And that's actually the template for nations like America and Great Britain and all of Europe today. It's biblical nationalism. I'm sorry, it's not secular, it's biblical. And these ones who then layer onto that a strong ethnic component. I'm not saying that England shouldn't be predominantly white. England is, you know, that's the heritage of the people there. You should be, but you also don't need to be fearful of reasonable levels of immigration, and there should be some balance to it. What you have had is mass immigration, uncontrolled and unwanted by the population, and that, for that, I agree, you should be rightly annoyed at your leaders, but it isn't a Jewish conspiracy to do it. It's your 90% non-Jewish leadership. You've had a few Jewish MPs in the House of Commons and Lords for a while, but they're not the ones, you know, you voted Tony Blair in, you voted Cameron, you voted these people, and mass immigration and joined the EU and open borders and shit. You got to get rid of that stuff. And you've got to assert your own cultural identity. That's what we do here in Israel so successfully. We have a cultural, an Israeli, predominantly Jewish, cultural identity. And when people come here, Jews, they join the Israeli cultural identity. You haven't done that in England enough. Sikhs and Hindus, I think, have, and Afro-Caribbeans have also done that. The Muslims have stayed separate and are getting even more separate. That's your problem. Anyway, once you understand how this far right thing, you know, this far right mentality of hating Jews, and they hate Jews because they're jealous. You know, they blame Jews. They look at their own inadequacies and they say, we're obviously superior because, you know, we've got IQ or whatever. How come we're not doing well in our own countries? And we'll look for someone to blame. And instead of blaming themselves for voting for the wrong leadership or not getting off their asses and getting a job and all that other stuff, they blame Jews sometimes. You know, and it's as old as it's 1,000 years people have been doing that, because Jews are driven and successful. And I think actually we have cultural habits and religious habits that make us successful. I think that's it, much more than IQ and so on. You know, getting up early, praying. Prayer, I think, is a wonderful thing. It's positive thinking. Getting up early to join a prayer group and to sort of regularly see the same group of people, looking out for each other, charity. All of this stuff is deep within Judaism, and it's a set of cultural rules that are just successful and have been successful. And you can be, and you know, washing your hands before eating. Christ, Jews came up with that a long, long time before germ theory. It's really simple as to why Jews are, and you could copy it. You don't actually have to become Jewish, but you could copy the successful bits instead of just whining and bitching and moaning that you're unsuccessful. That's the far right. They're useless. They'll never amount to much. They don't hold institutional power anywhere. That's why I discount them. Now, the far left, the kind of Corbyn anti-Semitism, which now that today is they call it anti-Zionism, that's the one that on an institutional level I worry about and looks bad. And when I then see, and I'm going to switch now into the thing, what happened with Melanie Phillips. Melanie Phillips wrote a very good article, which was published in the Jewish Chronicle, which, sorry to explain to you the far right, the Jewish Chronicle is actually a very far left Jewish publication in the UK. It's very, very sort of British establishment Jews who want to suck up to the politicians and get their knighthoods and all this crap. And they published Melanie Phillips's article on Islamophobia, which said that, now the origins of the actual word Islamophobia are a bit complex. It does appear in UN documents going back quite a long way, but in its use today and the way it's trying to be defined today as a version, as the Muslim version of anti-Semitism, which is a word I don't like anyway, and for that Islamophobia to include almost any criticism of the tenets of Islam. So if I say that there are aspects of Muhammad's life that I find reprehensible and in fact horrible, if I say that, people will accuse me of Islamophobia. No, listen, Majid Nawaz is, I think, on this case correct. I think anti-Muslim bigotry is wrong, if you want to call it that. Hatred of Muslims is wrong. And I would call anti-Semitism Jew hatred in the same vein. I don't like the word anti-Semitism. But anyway, Melanie wrote this article. Then the Board of Deputies of British Jews sent out a tweet, and then they've published a letter now, that the three heads of the thing, condemning Melanie Phillips. And I'm sorry, you know, I know Melanie. It was just a matter of time, because Robert Spencer, great author, founder of the Jihad Watch website, Pamela Geller, Geller Report, people I've known for a long time in this fight against the jihad, the counter-jihad fighters. These people were thrown out by it, but they will come for Melanie's. They will come for everybody. They came for Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson's never been bigoted in this way. And you don't... of course they'll come for you, because they are desperate. They are desperate to be dimmies, to acquiesce to the shifting power structures in the UK. And the shifting power structures are, even though Corbyn couldn't win this time with his Muslim demographic, it is growing. It is increasingly powerful. It does control debate in the UK, just because it's managed to inject this word now, Islamophobia, into the public consciousness. Boris Johnson is Islamophobic because he wrote a book called 72 Virgins, which is a work of fiction, but describes Muslim terrorism. And in the book, there are actual quotes. You know, one Muslim says to another something quoting from the Quran about killing all the unbelievers. So Boris Johnson clearly knows what's in the Quran. He obviously must, because he's written it. And in fact, it's going to be a cover quote on the next edition of Tommy Robinson and Peter McLaughlin's version of the Quran, Muhammad's Quran. So Boris Johnson knows this. So what do? They call him an Islamophobe, because they think somehow this will counter the correct accusations of anti-Semitism that are thrown at anti-Semitic people in the Labour Party. And they're trying to create this false equivalency, which is just vile. Melanie Phillips points that out. They call her an Islamophobe. And the most reprehensible and horrible thing, as I've always said, is that the Board of Deputies of British Jews wants to throw Melanie under a bus and cast her out from the community. In the same way that they cast out me for talking to Tommy Robinson and cast out Robert Spencer and Pamela Geller years ago. So it's just a progression. There's no change. First they came for the and I wasn't. It's that poem. And Jews doing it to themselves is the worst of the worst. All of this is interlinked. I wish it wasn't. But we did at least see that the British people, and I really believe this, that the northern working class British solid people, they're not racist. They don't think Boris Johnson is racist. That's not why they voted for him. They do know something about Islam in their towns, and they recognize when someone says true things. And I don't think they can be hijacked by the far left, this woke far left Corbynista Islington set pulls no weight in the UK. And the absolute drumming that Corbyn got and that ridiculous vile Labour Party he now leads, which I don't think is salvageable. I think it needs to go to the wall. I don't think they'll ever get this momentum woke crowd out of it. I think they're in there for good. It's not a good thing for Britain to have no opposition. The Liberal Democrats are, you know, 12 MPs. What does that mean? The Scottish National Party. By the way, why are Scots allowed to have a nationalist party and it's not a bad thing? I mean, what's up with that? No. I really think that Boris has the chance to be to build a biblical nationalist Great Britain again. And again, you know, you've got to look towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not the thing you hate. Jerusalem is and Israel is the nation actually you should be looking towards. The idea that you can have a strong nation with its own national and cultural identity that it manages to assert, but without a racist element, with you can do it. And Britain can have a strong Britain with Sikhs, with Hindus, with blacks, with Poles coming in, going out, with other EU nations. But You've got to control the levels. I mean, that's why all the way through the election, you know, whenever I heard this talk of the Australian point system, I didn't hear anybody saying what you get points for. Because if you get points for having a cousin in Bradford and with 14 children and three wives, that's not such a great point system. You have to be very careful, and you have to watch these politicians like hawks to see what they give the points for. Is it for being a doctor? Is it for being a scientist? And a proper scientist, not a climate scientist. No points for that. Nil point, minus. So the practical upshot is I'm still happy to support Tommy, obviously. We're building actually behind the scenes some pretty good ways of communicating and booting out the far right, because I like free speech. They're welcome to have their free speech, just it won't be anywhere near my free speech, that's for sure. I don't need to hear Nazis. I understand their point of view. I've read Mein Kampf. I do not need to hear it over and over again. I actually see positive. I mean, the stuff that's going on in America, I think, is positive. I mean, the absolute sham impeachment of Donald Trump, it's a laughing matter. The Americans the Democrats have debased themselves. I do hope that we start to see some kind of turnaround in the justice system and Barr starts arresting people, but who knows? But as far as I can see, as long as Trump is elected in November of 2020, Boris is in there now for 5 years with a majority. I hope he goes for Brexit properly, really properly. I hope he lays down the law and tells it to the EU. And I have no idea what's going to happen in Israel, got to tell you. Israel's the one. Israel really needs to defeat its own left-wing thing. And that's a problem here. But I've gone on long enough. Thank you very much for paying attention, and I hope some of that made sense. I will be putting it up on 3Speak later today, I hope. Bye-bye.